Welcome to the From Scratch podcast. I'm Martin Cousins, and
My name is Nigel Payne.
in this episode, we're going to be lurking in the shadows, which might sound a bit dodgy to say the least, but we're going to be lurking in the shadow AI. Actually, that's the shadow we're going to be looking at and being in this episode. So basically, what is shadow AI? It is basically all of those unsanctioned AI tools that the majority of workers in your organization are currently using. If they're using Gen AI, they're probably using these tools. And that's a bit of an issue. We found a report by Fuel iX of they've researched, done some survey work rather on, I think it's 1,800 workers in the US. And they just wanted to have a look at this. They wanted to quantify how people are using AI tools at work, what for, and the issues it throws up because it's basically not sanctioned, but it's happening.
What they're saying is shadow AI refers to the use of AI tools and applications within an organization without the knowledge or approval of Mr. Policeman IT. And they're saying of 68% of enterprise employees who use only public Gen AI, ChatGPT, Microsoft Copilot, Google Gemini, of the 68% of employees who use this, half, 57%, say they're entering sensitive information from the company into these tools to make them work for them. It's in itself, that is an extraordinary piece of information, isn't it? Remarkable. So whatever the company says, however IT says, you shall not do this, people are just getting on and doing it anyway. Why? Not because they're all wicked people, but because they get stuff done. It makes them much more productive. They get better quality work faster. So what, in their view, what's not to love? So they're doing it. So basically, AI is out of the bottle. There's no stopping it now. And any organization who thinks, oh, we've definitely got control of this, is being naive. You've got to manage the access, not block it, because people would just go ahead and do what's sensible, which is getting work done as effectively and efficiently as possible. It's a really interesting idea, but the numbers are quite extraordinary, aren't they, Martin?
Yeah, I think, look, this is some research carried out in the US. It's 1,800 at work. We have to caveat this with those numbers, really. But within that, I think it's quite a couple of things. Just building on what you've just said, Nigel. Firstly, there's a slide entitled Employee Sentiments on AI in the Workplace. Now, you've already described the benefits, people are doing stuff faster to better quality. The actual sentiment is 85% find work is more enjoyable as AI helps with repetitive tasks. 83% say work is more enjoyable due to AI efficiency. Now, that's
And
quite
also,
that.
Martin, it says that 37% find they've got stronger relationships because they're being more collaborative, helps them work together to solve big problems. And 44% said they're less likely to quit their organization because they've got that assistant helping them. So this is extraordinary stuff. It's all going on under the table. That's the depressing thing in a way, that you have people saying, I'm much happier in my work. And this is all nothing whatsoever to do with anyone in the organization saying, let's try and make you happier at your work. They've worked it out themselves. And the thing that drives people crazy is being inefficient, horrible, repetitive tasks, having to do things on their own. And AI seems to cut that away at a stroke, according to this report.
It won't come as a surprise that, let's say, 43% say they haven't shared sensitive information with a external AI tool, but a lot of people have. So, there's an issue that people, and you have to use company information. If you're going to do some work, you need obviously real information to be able to generate the kind of outputs that you want. But that is a live issue, obviously, and that has been around for a long time. That's not a, we're all
No, that hadn't arrived
aware
since
of,
yesterday. Yeah.
yeah,
But
so we're
And so what the report is saying, right, you've got this shadow AI operation in your organization. Use it so that you can have a company-wide strategic adoption because you know what people are doing and why they're doing it. So build that into your own systems. It seems to me like you've got a gift. You don't have to do all the work. It's being handed to you. These are the things that people want to do. These are the workflows that need to be investigated. Go ahead and do it. Not don't fight it. And the idea is that let's fire people who use AI inappropriately. It's just not going to happen, is it? It's just too colossal an operation, too big, and things have moved so far that you can't just pick out the odd person who's been a naughty boy or girl with AI and sharing company information. You can't beat it. You've got to join it and do it better. That's what they're saying, basically, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think also just quickly, the I think the one I think big message from this report for L&D is to be ensuring that everyone is getting training on the tools that you want the
Yes.
organization to use. I don't see a lot of this being talked about in the online discussions about AI. And my assumption is it's happening. But I think it's quite interesting because this report really does say, look, that needs to, if it's not already advanced, you need it to be because you need people to A, be using the right tools, but B, know how to use them better and how to be more effectively, use them more effectively, and understand how they're developing their own work processes using these tools. Because that's
Yeah.
a really big issue, I think. We're talking about potentially people just having the agency to optimize their own workflows, but you might not actually know how that is happening and developing. So I think
Yes.
there's some, this is all really interesting. It's amazing stuff for L&D to get stuck into. And
Yeah.
I guarantee that most L&D teams are using shadow AI themselves to generate content, to do all the things that they're doing around resource creation and program design and all these kinds of things. It'll be used for that already. So it's just like everyone's at it. I think it's more about maybe codifying it a bit for the organization, having the right policies around it, and getting everyone trained up to use the
And
right
getting an agenda.
tools.
Like if you look at it, 70% of people using shadow AI are doing only four things. Research, number one, research. And I echo that. I wouldn't think about doing any kind of research now without having some AI component built in. Summarization, again, really helpful for summarizing documents and summarizing numerous documents. Third is writing text documents. Writing text in other documents or writing whole documents. And the last one is drafting emails. So you've got an agenda there. You've got things that matter to people. So if you take research, it wouldn't be difficult to set a policy and say, look, we know you're using AI for research. This is the recommended tool. We've got a contract with X or Y or Z. We've put our company data in here. This is the one to go for. No one's going to argue with that and say, oh no, I insist on using ChatGPT. But if you know that 20% of usage is research, you can knock that one on the head very quickly. And it's really powerful to be able to do that. If you're getting higher quality research based on a bigger variety of documentation with better outputs, bring it on. So it's not like this is such an insurmountable problem. We just don't know where to start. It tells you where to start because you go where the biggest usage is. And one in five research. It's incredible.
Right then. So we've been in the shadows, and in the next episode, we'll possibly come out of the shadows. But for this episode, that's been great, interesting conversation. Nigel, we'll share the link to the research and look forward to speaking next time.
A great pleasure, Martin, as always. Thank you very much.